When he retires in January, John Skoka, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, will have ended 12 years in that job. It's a job where he must tend to the needs of Korea War veterans all the way up to Iraq and Afghanistan War veterans. John, thanks very much for an exit interview. Thanks. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve. I've appreciated over the years working with you and Wisconsin, Iowa, what it's done to change the course of open government.
Thank you very much. Okay, I want an overview. How many Wisconsin veterans does your agency help?
Well, there's 416,000 Wisconsin veterans in the great state of Wisconsin. Our largest portion of veterans are our Vietnam veterans now as we shift from the World War II, our Korean veterans, and then our Cold War veterans, and then now we have our Iraq and Afghanistan, or Persian Gulf War veterans, 1 and 2, as the VA lumped them together. So probably one of our challenges there is looking to take care of our largest portion of veterans, now our Vietnam-era veterans, which in most cases are our largest portion of veterans really needing the additional help now. From our perspective, and probably generationally, that generation of veterans are the ones that I feel that the government really turned its back on from their service and are now really coming around in understanding the government that we are going to take care of them, especially at the state and the federal. And we see from our interactive call sites, 45% of our requests are still our Vietnam veterans. So we got a lot of work to do there. They're our largest portion of veterans now at our nursing care facilities. And so we're going to have to take care of them along with our Korean War veterans, which is still a population and serve their country. And as we go into now our Iraq and Afghanistan vets, we have Iraq and Afghanistan vets now at our veterans' homes at Union Grove and King. So we still have some work to do. I would say that our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans are more interactive, IT, computer, where we still have to be prepared to take care of the face-to-face needs of our veterans, whether it by IT, phone call. So we've got a lot of work to do there. We've really prided ourselves. This is the 50th commemoration, our second year of honoring our Vietnam veterans. Did some kickoff ceremonies, but doing some strong things, making sure that those veterans now, we hear a lot from their family members now, their spouses and children, to take care of their father or mother now for care. So we're really preparing for that, and we should have been, as a nation, preparing for that to the day one when they left their service. But we usually see about 10 years after a conflict, mm-hmm. the major things that we see now with traumatic brain injury, PTSD, our mental health care issues from our current generation. But we still have focus on our previous generations. Our Vietnam veterans, which don't get the credit, they changed the federal VA. That generation are the ones that stood out in the streets and the veteran service groups and said, hey, look at what we're doing to our veterans here. Why aren't we taking care of them? So my generation is really reaping the benefits from that generation who really changed so many of the internal things at the federal VA and our state, whether it be from Agent Orange that is still inflicting such tremendous devastation on that generation, to just the basic day-to-day care that a veteran who, when he raised his right hand, went in to the MEP station to join service, was told that he was going to get medical care for his service. And I think each administration has fought with that at the national level. We see it as it should equal across the board. And our new generation, I say new generation, our women veterans, who are about 16% of the nation's veterans, and that they need transparent equality too. We need to look for the federal VA and the state to provide benefits for them specifically to meet their needs, and we're doing that now, I think, with our current generation, but we've left behind, I think, some generations in the past of female
veterans. The biggest change you've seen, you first became secretary in 2003. Your 12 years have been in two segments, 03 through 09, then 11 through sure. January 17, when you'll be retiring. Biggest change you've seen, the emergence of Vietnam veterans and their willingness to talk about it, because I know a friend of mine who served in Vietnam who still won't discuss his service in Vietnam. Is the emergence of Vietnam veterans the biggest change you've seen, or is there something
I think the
bigger?
Emergence of the Vietnam veterans and the change of our veterans' health care at the national level and in the state, how we look at benefits, kind of not only mirror the federal government, but we need to be innovative. We need to take care of them like we did with the Wisconsin GI Bill. And really that GI Bill came to really serve the Vietnam veterans. Back in that time frame, most of the Vietnam era veterans, especially worked in the manufacturing, were changing so many, average veteran about three different vocations during the course of their lifetime. Huge change in the Milwaukee area. They had used their GI Bill. They couldn't get retraining grants. Then Governor Doyle was the governor. How are we going to make Wisconsin better? And that was one of the innovative things that he supported us on, and I, to this day, have appreciated that. Because not only do we make the life better for Vietnam veterans, getting into a different automating, whether they might be in manufacturing or another additional, but our spouses and children of the disabled veterans from that era that served so many of our veterans and took care of them, now they have an opportunity to get back in the workplace and work. So, and I see now when we morph up to where we are today, that current generation, we're facing some huge challenges with mental health. And it's really been brought to the forefront, which started with Vietnam, with PTSD, and these issues. And that's something that we cannot, as a state and a nation, stop at. We'd like to see at our all three of our veterans' facilities a 40-bed facility just to meet the short-term and long-term care for our veterans who need mental health care assistance. And we have to look at that. That's going to catch us. We don't. That's probably one of the biggest things that I've probably voiced my opinion on, not only in the legislature but the governor's office, that we've got to come out to do this. We need to use our resources we have, and we need to do it now, not 10 years from now, now.
Well, let's talk about mental health. Is that primarily a responsibility of state agencies or the federal, the VA, John?
It's really the responsibility of the federal. They have the ball in that, but I believe as a state veterans agency, and the vision and direction Governor Walker has given, if we aren't in the fight, then we're not doing our job. As you know, the federal VA has gone through some tremendous transitions. I just saw over Veterans Day where their call centers, one out of three calls were not being returned, and a lot of those issues are mental health care. So for me, I think as a state partner, we have to find ways to partner with the federal VA, but we have to be innovative. I think it's our charge. If our state veterans are living in this great state and they want to be productive citizens, we need to provide the tools and the care for them to continue.
If a veteran in Wisconsin tries to call the federal hotlines for a mental health need and is not getting that call returned, does she or he has an option to call anybody and a resource in your agency or the local county veterans officers?
Sure, there's one. We have our 1-800 number also.
What is it,
John?
1-800
West Vets.
1-800 West Vets. Yes. Thank you. Excuse me.
Also at the county level, they have county mental health care issues too, where they provide services. I think the biggest challenge is all of us working together to find some type of consortium where we can work together. And I've had some breakthroughs. I'm looking at Racine and Kenosha. But I think we should offer that. I think that we should be able to offer that benefit at our veterans' home. Why not? It's the 21st century. We have to be innovative to take care of the veterans. I need the federal government. I need their funding to continue these programs. But as a state, we need to look at finding ways to do that. And if we aren't doing that, I think we're in trouble.
You know, one thing that intrigues me is some counties have set up veterans courts. How many counties have done that, and why have they done that, and what's been their track record?
I believe about 10 counties do that, and I think that's they're doing a great job. Deputy Secretary Marshman, who's a lawyer in my office, mirrors that and works with that group, and it's a great way to get the veteran out of being adjudicated into a prison, say, mm-hmm. or in a criminal setting, and take care of the needs. Most of those are folks that might have drug and alcohol issues, some mental health care issues. We want to catch it on the front end, not on the back end. And I think the counties that are actively involved in that are doing a tremendous service to those veterans, because if we look at our Vietnam veterans, and even though some of the traditional veterans courts were started then, we have a lot of incarcerated Vietnam veterans in our prison system. I believe about 1,600 veterans are incarcerated, and over 400 are Vietnam-era veterans. So we need to look at these different ways to do that and assist them. And that's why I think having mental health care facilities, drug and alcohol facilities within the state's grasp for us as an agency is a good thing.
We're doing this interview in downtown Madison. We could leave here and walk a block and see some homeless
sure.
people. Is Wisconsin doing a better job of helping the homeless who are vets, John?
I think we've done a good job in the state. of doing it with our three homeless facilities that we have. Can we do more? Yes. I think right down the street is Porchlight, a tremendous facility. Our agency supports that along with the federal VA. With so many of them vendor orientated, you have to have a good vendor like Porchlight. Milwaukee has CVI, which is a good vendor. But I think the key thing now, you know, Secretary Shinseki at the federal level's goal was let's get these folks off the street and get them treatment. I think there has to be a combination to that right up front. We need to take care of them. And a lot of them we're finding that are continual homeless need those mental health care issues. And so facilities like our veterans' homes that we'd like to put together, a facility within that, are great ways to doing that to get them. You know, I look at it, why shouldn't a veteran have a good quality of life his last 20 years, even though they might have been on the street for 10 years or have drug and alcohol issues or just mental health care issues? We've got to do that. I kind of break from some of my other colleagues that view that as more of a federal. I think the state has a role, tremendous role, in guiding our veterans when we come back. Wisconsin touts we're the most progressive state in the nation for veterans, which I say. And I say if we're going to do it, then we need to come up with creative programs. Most of the big states, like California and New York, they look to our state and our National Association of State Veteran Secretaries, which I had the pleasure of being the president for a year. They look to our state for different things, our burial honors. So if we're going to be that state, we need to look that way, and we need to take care of veterans. If you want to grow veterans to be good citizens in your state, they want to come to this state, then we need to give them the resources to do that.
Your agency just started a specific suicide prevention program. Can you talk about that and any signs whether it has indeed prevented some suicides by veterans?
Well, I think it's too early for me to say anything about that right now, but I think it's the first step, the preventive methods of training different folks to assist veterans, because it's you and I. We're veterans talking. A lot of time you can do all the 1-800, all these different new methods to get out to our veterans, but it's that veteran peer-to-peer talking to each other saying, hey, what's going on with you? How can I help you? And that's kind of our program, working together. We have the County Veteran Service Offices, our veteran service groups all working together. We're just kicking off, I believe, in a week, the first training session to do that. So it's going to be a first start. That's our first really grasp into the mental health care arena. We think that we should have been doing it a few years ago. And hopefully that'll lead us to where I think we need to do is provide facilities on our campuses for that care or work with the counties to form consortiums where we can help assist them to provide that type of care.
We've been talking about mental health issues. Let's shift to jobs. And here's my question. You were commissioned as an Army armor officer.
That's right.
You served 31 years in the military. Thank you. But do the skills you learn in the military, they're not automatically transferable to the private sector business, are they?
Well, I think the key thing that if you're in the military, and I've been an enlisted soldier and an officer, are the key things. You have leadership, the ability to organize, to do a lot of different things, come to work on time. But I think the key thing from an enlisted and an officer perspective, a non-commissioned, is that you have the leadership to come into an area and that doing a good analysis of what's happening here, how are we going to get it better and move forward. I mean, I think some of the biggest things that I see in state government, and some of my colleagues will get mad at me, but a lot of them don't have the leadership's ability is of coming in to your media room and saying, how is this organized? And a lot of folks seem to have the ideas, but I always, a good military thing I learned from one of my bosses, the first 30 days you keep your mouth closed, you come in and observe how things are being run, and if you can provide and your input to do it. But I think our current veterans coming back are so much different than ones that from my generation. They are more savvy in IT. They want to work. A lot more are going to technical schools. We've seen a huge boom in our technical schools, which I think is a great thing. But they bring back the skills, leadership, coming to work on time. And our employment rate, which I believe has dropped down below 3% for our veterans in our state, is a great thing. A few years ago, was up to 17-18%, so we've made a difference in getting folks from school into the work environment, and I think that's kind of a national trend now too, but our state was in trouble, and We did some hard work. I credit that to DWD and some of the hard work of them working together with us, our National Guard partners, everybody trying to pool our resources to find work for our veterans that want to get into those.
Are Wisconsin veterans, though, still being discriminated when they seek private sector jobs because potential employers are worried about PTSD and other potential mental health issues, John?
You know, I would say 10 years ago when we first started this, yes. Now we've spent, I don't know how many different seminars we've had for human resources directors of private, and we've worked hard to really get above and beyond that. I think employers are very much well organized to support our veterans than they were 10 years ago. I mean, they see the quality of them. We want to see more disabled veterans get opportunities, whether it's state government, UW, or in private industry. We've worked with DWD and ourselves and the National Guard and Reserves to show our employers. I use Snyder Truck, a tremendous organization that provides so many resources to our veterans, giving them an opportunity not only to own their business, but get into the trucking field. We're one of the few states that received the Governor's Association grant a couple of years ago for three things: law enforcement, trucking, and nursing, to get veterans into that. And we were very successful in working with local universities and different private vendors. And so I think that is one of the good things out of that whole process. Can we do better? Sure. I think that every time a veteran comes home from service, there should be an opportunity not only for housing, good employment, and good education for those three things to make them better citizens.
You'll be leaving your job in January, which means you've already submitted your proposed agency's budget for the 2017-2019 biennium. What major initiatives are in it, or put another way, what are the major policy decisions to help veterans facing the person who has your job next, the governor, and lawmakers?
Well, I mentioned the key one, expansion of mental health care.
We'd
like to see on all three of our campuses a 40-bed facility, where 20 beds short-term, 20 beds long-term for veterans. We have a 15-bed pilot that's going to initiate in the spring of 2017. It really goes hand-in-hand for the groundbreaking of the new 200-bed John Moses facility, which is signed into law about a year and a half ago. So our focus is still, in our budget, about 94% on our veterans' homes, improving them. You know, the bottom line at King, you know, we're going to talk about in a few minutes about King. It's an older facility. Yeah. Needs to be upgraded. This is just the beginning. In old facilities, things happen, you know, and so we need to be cognizant of them and aware of it. We've spent a tremendous amount of resources in the help of the federal government, again, to make our facilities first class. And I would say to you today, and I'll come back after the audit is done in the LAB, and say that our facilities are first class and probably the best in the nation. And it was a sad thing when I especially in the fall during the political process, where it became
of a political football.
And it was sad to me it wasn't reported appropriately. And when those issues weren't substantiated, there was no follow-up. And so, but that goes with the game. You know, I tell my folks we're doing a good job. Veterans would not be coming to our facility. We wouldn't have a waiting list of over 200 at Chippewa Falls. We wouldn't have the great employee staff that we have at all three of our facilities. And so at any facility, there's a shortage of nursing care nationwide. But can we do better? Yes. Any incident's not a good incident. And we you know, by law, we have the state and the federal there. They're visiting us all the time. And so, you know, even this issue that came out today in the Capital Times or the Wisconsin State Journal, that's in the appeal process.
Well, let's talk about that, John.
Okay.
Just the first paragraph of the State Journal story, I want to read it. 6 weeks after the embattled Wisconsin veterans' homes at King for the first time received the federal government's highest ratings, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services assessment was downgraded because of poor care connected to a 94-year-old resident's death. So it's very timely that you're here today.
Sure, sure.
I want to get the agency's response to the
downgrade. I would say that it's only downgrading the one building. Remember, there's four facilities.
The Olson
Hall.
Yes.
And we're appealing that process. You know, I'm not on the site. I'm not a doctor, but when a doctor makes his decision on that individual case, which I won't get into too much, we supported that, and we still to this day support that issue, and so we're appealing it through the process. The first phase was closed, and now we're going for the appeal process. So that first paragraph, King is not embattled. I think, King, if you went there last October when that first group of Capital Times reports came out, which were unsubstantiated, we had a listening session with our employees. Very enraged our employees were the fact that someone would make these. And there's probably a few disgruntled employees like anywhere else. But I tell my folks, let that go. We're there to serve veterans. And so if we're not doing something up to care, the par, we're going to fix it and make it the very best.
Would you put a parent, an aunt, or an uncle in King? Would you have any concerns?
Yes,
would
not
you
at all.
Rather put them in Chippewa Falls or
No, I'd put them in any one of our facilities. And you can go there and visit. They're all first class. I can't tell you how disheartening it was to me when these media reports were unsubstantiated and going to King and talking to my employees and having people contact me from families. I was up at Fort McCoy at a retirement event for retirees, and an elderly woman came up and said, my husband passed there. It was the greatest facility and took care of my husband. And that's what you feel great when that happens, because you know you did your job and our employees know they do their job. Is there going to be issues? Sure. I mean, I've had some folks on whether on the left or the right side both tell me, hey, we know there's issues there, and they know you resolve. I went to the minority leader and talked to him face-to-face about it, and he was a little bit changed his heart and how he viewed things. But that's the biggest thing, the partisanship that's changed since I've been in the Capitol, and you've noticed it too, has just gone to the point where I think it's really destructive, and this is a perfect
example. Are veterans being hurt by the partisanship in the Capitol?
I think veterans are being hurt by the partisanship, and I think this event, this fall, really struck me as probably being the biggest thing that I'd seen since I'd been around the Capitol for a few years, and even my issue that happened to me when I was secretary and was illegally fired. I mean, this is using our veterans on the backs of veterans and our employees for their own political will, and I think that's wrong. And I mean, I like I tell whether a Democrat colleague or Republican colleague, we can disagree, but not on the veterans. We might disagree on policy, how we're going to fix veterans or take care of their families, but we should not go to the extent of that. And I think this last election really saw that. I know one legislator didn't get reelected again that was an avid opponent of the King home, and we spent time after time trying to show that person that they were wrong in their concept, but it became more political.
King is in the district, as you know, of Senator Luther Olson.
Sure.
When I interviewed him, he said one of the problems is King is in such a rural location, there's a problem attracting professionally qualified medical staff. How big a problem is that at King?
You know, I don't think that. I think that the legislature, two biennials ago, gave us about 123 folks to fix really our overtime, and we've been kind of living on that. Do we have a turnover of some of our medical staff? Sure, like everybody else. There's a shortage of CNAs nationwide. I think you have to pay your people well. We just got a bump for those folks. I think 80 cents that Governor Walker worked really hard to work with us on that and the DOA staff. I think that we have to be competitive. We have to provide the best benefits and the best care costs to those veterans and take care of our workers. And I if you went to King, I think the average where we were, say, in 2008 is night and day in terms of employee-wise. Our overtime's down. Our care for our employees, I think, is better. And I think that overall, King is in a geographical spot. You know, we got Oshkosh, Appleton, the Fox Valley. That's where we draw most of those. We have stipend programs to grow folks. So, I mean, we've seen that. Even our contractors, by law, that we have to fill positions if we're not, they're having difficulty finding folks.
You mentioned the age of King. Does it need a major upgrade to provide better care?
I think that for us as a state to be competitive in the future, our strategic plan, we're doing some different things. We're doing the new 200-bed facility at John Moses. I think over the next 10 years, if we're not building on those facilities, we're wrong, because just the demographics of the nation, veterans, will probably catch us. And then the federal government pays 65% of the building replacement. We provide 35%. I'd like to see five new 72-bed facilities across the state, one in Green Bay, one in La Crosse, one in Madison here, to meet the needs of our veterans. Our veterans are staying home longer. If you look at the age King is no longer a retirement facility. It's a veterans nursing facility. And nursing one thing at our audit hearing, I think I got through to many of the legislators. You know, our last resident, I think, died 2 years ago, was there for 40 years. So that's changing. They come to us. They need more care, and the state has given us more folks to do that. But we need to meet the needs, and it's whether it be in mental health care. We have great Alzheimer care and dementia care at our facilities. So we need to be cognizant of that, but we have to be competitive. Our facilities have to look like the one down the street. There's 13 nursing facilities just in the King area. Mm-hmm. So we're competing against them to do that. And I think our Chippewa Falls facility, which was our first contracted facility, it has one state employee, is a perfect example of not only financially meeting its goals, but taking care. We have, it's a five-star facility. We have 200 folks on the waiting list. So it's going to be a challenge. Whoever takes my place, as I told the governor's office, 98% of what we do is health care. We have to keep our eye on the ball at our three veterans' homes. And you see how anything can possibly happen at the veterans' homes. And we have to be careful. We have to have good maintenance. We have to have good people working there. And we have to be what the industry's doing. We need to look at the care we're doing to be innovative.
Did the controversy at King and the coming LEB audit play a role in your decision to retire?
You know, not at all. I've moved from my current location, the Madison area, to a different location, and I did that for a reason. I promised my wife that we were eventually going to move, and I could either stay on two more years or make a move now. And I've been putting for probably the last 10 years a lot of work first and not a lot of family. I'm going to work again. I hopefully continue to work in the veterans arena because I love that. And I think taking care of our nation's heroes is something that I've spent my life doing it. My father was 100% disabled, World War II prisoner of war. And I've seen the federal VA change from going to Minnesota as a kid, where they used to first come, first serve in line and spend the whole day to watch my dad get his blood checked and some items, to now it's a first-class facility, largest health care provider in the world. It's got issues. I think the trend for the future in Wisconsin should be on top of it. For pilots, it's going to be more contracted facilities locally. Some of our veterans feel that should stay, the big VA should always do that, but I'm a proponent of some of that, but I would like to say if Steve Walters lives in Monroe, Wisconsin, and there's a Mayo Clinic or a Marshfield Clinic or whatever facility down the road, I want Steve to go to that and get his care there instead of driving to Minneapolis or to Madison or Milwaukee.
That's so the door should be open to private care for some veterans.
I think so, and I think that it can be done faster service for our veterans. I think some of the major care should still be done at the VA, but that's all changing. You see the demographics, we talked about that. That's going to change these facilities, the cost of care and how we're doing it. And I think the new administration that's in power now are going to take over in January. They have their eyes with folks like Congressman Miller, who his goal is to get out as many contracts, or I shouldn't say that, get out to the community as much as possible, the facilities. And sometimes I think that's going to be good. But as a veteran and veterans groups, we need to keep our eye on the ball to make sure the care still stays where we need it, and it's the best care.
Well, just two final questions. We're almost out of time. You're leaving office. Maybe you can answer this question.
Sure.
Do you think Americans' veterans will be treated better under President-elect Trump than they would have been under Secretary Clinton?
I'll tell you that I'll leave that open for judgment. My policy is this. You know, a lot of people took shots at President Obama. President Obama had a tremendous battle that when he went into office, a war and two fronts, he closed the loop on Iraq, even though we're back there. Tremendous amount of health care issues exploding at the VA. I think he did a tremendous job. I think the commander-in-chief, whether it been President Clinton or President Trump, is going to have a tough fight because we're going through a whole transition to meet the needs of a whole group of new veterans.
And then the final question. You were dismissed by the board in 2009.
Sure.
You sued. You got your job back in 2011. You've heard the question asked. Why didn't you drop the lawsuit? Why did you continue the lawsuit when you got your job back in 2011?
Well, there was two things that, one, I thought it was wrong what they did. I thought it was political, unethical. I mean, we might have had differences, but we probably could have parted ways. I think that it put a bad blemish on the Doyle administration, where Governor Doyle, I believe, did not believe the same as some of the board members did. And to me, that began the partisanship of the board. And for me, you had folks that didn't have the situational background making decisions on major issues that affected our veterans that I believe that shouldn't be there.
You could have won your lawsuit and won a dollar, but you settled it for $325,000. Why did you insist on a settlement that some would say is rather high?
Well, the lawyers got a lot of money out of that.
I understand.
My settlement, I think, was fair and just for the amount of turmoil it caused on my family, almost 2.5 years. I think more than anything, my reputation as one that would work with both sides, I think, were tarnished in that. I thought that was wrong. Became personal and political, and I never, when I served on the board in many years in Veterans Affairs, never saw it as that. I saw it as we're working together as a team to find a way forward to take care of veterans. They had their own agenda. I thought it was wrong, and I thought I'd better stand up for my rights and for the rights as a returning veteran that served his country, comes back and that happens to you, and you face a myriad of different issues that go right on top along with it.
Yeah, you were dismissed after you came back from being in Iraq.
Right.
And final question, we only have a few seconds. Advice to your successor, she or he?
My advice to my successor is, one, follow your instincts about taking care for veterans, because you're going to make that final decision, and the veterans of this state are looking to you for your support and your wise decisions. And try to get along with the media as best you can, because they can be more of a troublesome for you than they are. And I just like to conclude with this. I have had the pleasure of working with Steve when he was in the Milwaukee Journal over the years, and I really appreciate the open government, what you're doing. And you've from the day that I was illegally dismissed on Wisconsin I, which was a good tool for me later on, but I really appreciate what you're doing to make sure that our veterans get the support they need. And organizations like this need to be supported and continue to show how great and transparent Wisconsin is.
John Skokos will be retiring in January after 12 years as Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. John, I want to thank you for this exit interview.
No, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you.